holding back humanity through reduction of its intelligence. This section must have a prominent place not only in this book, but in every book devoted to worldview-shaping ideas. Ensuring acceptance of truth by society, and especially the crucial role of real, unmitigated truth referring to all humanity, is one of the most difficult tasks a person can undertake. The basic worldview-forming ideas and perceptions, wrong at present when it comes to the really fundamental ones, are so deeply stuck in the minds of the people that they have become an indelible part of almost everyone. This is the result of the low quality of thinking that is deliberately instilled in the population from a very young age. The indoctrination begins with the creation of the false image of exceptional thinkers, ascribing it to actual mediocrities. An unshakable image of hero scientists and the subjects they deal with is created in the minds of students from an early age, from the first stages of their intellectual formation, that singles out a very small group of super scientists, as opposed to the millions of ordinary scientists, some of whom are truly brilliant, but will never have the chance to become known to the public outside their professional circles, if at all. A similar indoctrination took place under communism, when the state's one-party propaganda held up figures like Marx and what was portrayed as his followers, Engels and Lenin, as some kind of super philosophers who proclaimed the final end of philosophy, giving the real final answers. Consequently, what remains for everyone else is to, quote, creatively develop the never-to-be-questioned groundwork those proclaimed super philosophers have laid. All other philosophers, from antiquity to the present day, are made to reside in the background as some kind of inferior building blocks, some of them mentioned only in historic context, and as the precursors, the rubble on which the supreme thinkers and philosophers Marx, followed by Engels, Lenin, and at certain points Stalin, rested. The nations of the world need ultimate heroes, and the global elite has gladly provided them with great willingness as the never-seen global mental chewing gum. This deformed, one-sided indoctrination has brought, aside from cognitive damages, a great deal of suffering and tragedies to many peoples of the world. Conversely, monarchies and the so-called democracies would cite Marx and followers as unwelcome curiosities, adoptive of all else presented as philosophy, giving equal weight to anything that is said to be a philosophical doctrine. No wonder university classes in philosophy sound more like classes in history of philosophy. Philosophy, however, is wrongly burdened with the task to explain the world, least of all capable of providing guidance as to which way the world should follow. The most philosophy can do is to provide examples of what different ways of looking at the world there may be from the individual point of view of those who created the various philosophical doctrines. Should we then wonder how that equally nasty singular Marx dictate has faded away, replaced by multitudinous of the personal views of the different philosophers? This is where the subjectiveness of truth, the postmodern idea that truth is only a matter of interpretation imposed on society, comes from. having so much embellished the role in society of varied philosophies since the 1960s. Once philosophy is admitted to have a role in society, an equal weight of the variations of doctrine is allowed. Such an understanding regarding truth, the understanding that truth is only a matter of point of view, a metaphor, comes only naturally as a parasitic consequence. However, no matter how much a given propaganda machine insists that a philosophical doctrine can be objective, it is always subjective both as a totalitarian single doctrine and as the apparent variety of allowing the coexistence of just any ever expressed philosophical view. Here, we may repeat as a further detrimental point the defect already noted in philosophy itself. Philosophy, in the absence of science, is incapable of acquiring a true knowledge of the external world and the external objects therein. As mentioned elsewhere in the book, the advent of science since Galileo has, in effect, rejected philosophy, rendering it obsolete as a method of acquiring true knowledge about the world. The word here is about real science, not about the abomination known as, quote-unquote, philosophy of science, an oxymoron forced on the world since the 1960s, accompanied by the collectivistic pejorative notion of, quote, paradigm, admitting as truths even falsities as long as the collective has adopted these falsities as truths. The retention of philosophy as a method of knowing and explaining the world and its social problems becomes disastrous when it is transformed into ideology aimed at achieving political ends. The entire 20th century, not that the ongoing 21st century can be excused from that, has witnessed such tragic application, especially when one philosophical system is made to rise above the rest and becomes the basis of a militant ideological doctrine suppressing everything else. However, the damage to the world by the implementation of totalitarian political doctrines was and is nowadays, under the guise of postmodernism, only partial. Only some countries of the world suffered from its heavy boot. The actual, ubiquitous totalitarian damage was incurred to science, slashing it badly and decimating it at the beginning of the 20th century, arresting the development of the scientific thought for over a century. That demolition concerns everyone on Earth. The totalitarian crushing of science, started at the beginning of the 20th century, is unsurpassed in its overall negative effect by any world calamity or disaster. It penetrates invisibly in every crack of society, in every country, unopposed by borders. Once the elite has made barriers around it in every university, rejecting any opposition. Invisible penetration can only be compared to a pandemic, both real and fake, because both real and fake pandemics cause crisis. But unlike a pandemic, the crisis totalitarian crushing of science causes and its long-term effects are not immediately visible. This undermining of intellect may never be detected in a social expression, especially connecting it as a visible expression of confused physics, because its development is not dependent on other spheres of life. These spheres are not directly and visibly dependent on it. Undermining thinking is a much more subtle process to which society as a whole gradually becomes accustomed. New generations are being indoctrinated into this subverted thinking, who thus see nothing wrong with it. And the elite further encourages them to think this way by vigorously suppressing any dissent against the recognition of absurdities as great science. In science, particularly physics, being the crown jewel symbolizing ultimate science, the pack of science destroyers is made to be led by a sorry pusher of the absurd, quote, theory of relativity, whose name need not even be mentioned. There are a few other unfortunate names, but the tragic figure of the sorry pusher of the absurd, quote, theory of relativity has been turned into the singular operetta superhero of science, the talk of every parquet party. Someone may object, claiming that, obviously, the cheating dealer who pushed the senseless, quote, theory of relativity is the historic winner. And talking like this, that is, expressing doubt in his greatness, is to deny the facts. The truth is quite the opposite. The apparent victory of said dealer is Pyrrhic. It is exactly the real, absolute, as it turns out, facts that are the drivers of his actual demise. Society might have not accepted at present that the apparent historic victory is, in actuality, an embarrassing demise. But it is only a matter of time when it will recognize that catastrophe, big time at that. The embarrassing demise of the artificially embellished and inflated image of that phony hero of science is inevitable because his, quote, theory and anything else penned by him, contaminating the scientific literature, just does not make elementary sense, to say nothing about having completely no scientific merit, destroying logical thinking, as shown unequivocally by this author. The catastrophic fact, seen in the very pages of the 1905 paper introducing the so-called, quote, theory of relativity, proving that said, quote, theory invalidates itself, is the single crucial argument overthrowing it, which makes any other critique of, quote, relativity superfluous, to say nothing of the entire rejection of any thought that there could ever be an experiment to test an absurdity such as the, quote, theory of relativity. Once that catastrophe is seen, no patron, covert or overt, that has sponsored the promotion of that world disaster could possibly save even a scintilla of the pathological absurdity known as, quote, theory of relativity. Apart from anything else, elevating such towering mediocrity to the rank of genius is extremely unfair to all honest and honorable scientists who dedicate their lives to truth and real scientific creativity. The rest of the scientists, some very brilliant, are so low at the foot of this actual symbol of intellectual failure, but portrayed by the media as a colossus of thought, that these really talented but humble explorers are invisible even in their own, just as invisible, circles. The Internet, as will be discussed further in the section Internet and Information, doesn't help with straightening out this obvious scientific scandal. On the contrary, the pseudo-democracy of the Internet contributes to the further obfuscation and delegitimization of significant and meaningful ideas, providing no finality to the real, truthful ones, allowing them to exist on equal par with falsity and outright stupidity. At this juncture, one may exclaim, well, this is all well and good, even if those sympathetic to this author's writing agree at once, without a second thought, with what he said above regarding the tragic state of physics. Although they would inevitably agree anyway in the end, should they get deeper into the matter. The real problem, which is the stumbling block, is how to get across further, even to those who agree, not only the tight connection between ruined physics and ruined muddle thinking, but also that such ruinous connection is very dangerous, even lethal to humanity. And why straightening it out must be the primary concern of humanity, outpacing all other problems. Besides, what does the honest explorer offer the general reader whose imagination is already taken, captivated by promises that physics in its present form has already penetrated the world's secrets and the mysteries of the universe? Various official sources foment this illusion almost daily. Monumental structures called scientific laboratories, sophisticated facilities are built, defying this author's unequivocally justified skepticism. Cosmic ships are sent into space. They transmit pictures from there. Everything is so fascinating. How can such a magnificent construction exist if its foundation is nonsense? A couple of wrong formulae, which this author has discovered in the current physics mainstream, will not make a difference in front of such resplendence and greatness. This greatness and impressiveness are only due to engineering, which has no connection with the wrong fundamentals of physics. The propaganda says that it has, but in actuality it hasn't. These fabulous constructions and brilliant cosmic achievements would be there even if no quote-unquote theory of relativity or quantum mechanics had ever soiled science. Connecting the quote theory of relativity and quantum mechanics with these grandiose technological advancements is a devious trick of the propaganda, a deception. Remove from physics the theory of relativity and quantum mechanics, and the engines of the rocket will keep burning the fuel the same way. The jet thrust will not lose a single newton of its force, and the construction, ensuring the launching pad and the integrity of the rocket itself, will remain the same. Navigation, computer systems, and everything else, ensuring a safe flight, will be unchanged as well. Anyone doubting that and trying to interject, trying to theorize that all that will not be possible without the, quote, theory of relativity, will be immediately cut short by the catastrophic arguments presented in my books, unequivocally proving that such intervention is impossible because it is absurdity. Those advocates of, quote, theory of relativity do not even need to be shown in real life that the rocket will fly without that, quote, theory. The unequivocal theoretical argument is enough, the way it is enough just to say that, quote, one is not equal to two, in order to know that no experiments are needed to test the truthfulness of that statement. More on the difference between the technology based on engineering, which has practical goals that are marketed on the one hand, and science on the other hand, can be read in the author's previous books. Science has no practical goals. in its own sense, science only idealistically uncovers and harvests new knowledge and adds it to the pool of already amassed knowledge, acting as its keeper, not viewing it as a utility. What about the connection of flawed physics with intelligence reduction? And what about the intelligence reduction bringing mortal danger? To answer the first question, try the following inevitable scenario, playing ubiquitously in contemporary academia. If in order to be allowed to do physics academically and be appointed by the elite as an advisor to the world that would hold me in great esteem as the representative of academia, I must accept the pillars on which modern physics is built. Namely, I must admit falsehood to be truth, logical error to be a reasonable result, and that equality, quote, 1 equals 2, is a perfectly acceptable equality, counting such thinking as, quote, great. In such a case, I would agree to confuse the thinking of huge masses of people. If those people succumb to that kind of thinking, confused in every way, then infected people, even those who are naturally smart, would lower their intelligence. One of the surest demonstrations of low intelligence is muddled thinking, adopting that the above absurdities make sense, accepting that they comprise really advanced, quote, great, non-intuitive thinking. The trick that the elite applies to accomplish the goal of lowering intelligence of the world is to first elevate elements who share such, quote, great thinking to the position of pretended authorities and then discuss apparent evidence, never mind that it is a result of deception. The correct approach, that is, what should be the other way around. The real truthful evidence creates the genuine authority, is brazenly defied. As for the second question, that is, the intelligence reduction bringing mortal danger, imagine a person of muddled thinking, demented person in the custody of hallucinations and deliriums, sitting at the red button that can start a nuclear war. Wouldn't that be a scary, lethal scenario? For a deadly scenario, arriving from low intelligence, one need not even imagine a nuclear button. It is enough to have large masses of people of low intelligence, the product of the constant efforts of the elite to stupefy the population, efforts that render it incapable of understanding the elementary subterfuge of a contrived pandemic that causes these large masses of people to be gripped by fear and panic. Picture what would happen at the exits of a full audience movie theater if someone shouts, "Fire!" and the viewers lack the elementary intelligence to look around and see that there is no fire at all. The frenzied crowd rushing for the exits could be deadly for many caught in its press. Instead of analyzing rationally the real situation with COVID-19, the anonymous insignificance sheepishly listen to everything the corrupt authorities shoved down their throat and rushed into panic, ignoring even the common sense that they should not neglect their much more deadly, real diseases. This all is not unconnected with the systematic derogation of the reality of truth. Practically no one believes anymore that there can be truths which every individual can establish firmly. The population behaves as a spoiled child, waiting to be nursed by appointed, quote, experts. The better someone serves the interests of the elite, the more likely is to be appointed as an expert. The population at large lacks any initiative and desire to think with its own brain. Some cannot even tie the laces of their shoes anymore, or tell time by using a regular clock that is not digital. This delegation to appointed authorities of every aspect of life, even of personally manageable matters, directly endangering the life of everyone, has been worked on by the elite for centuries, and lately has intensified beyond recognition, assisted by the equally as sinisterly insinuated dragging down and entertaining down of large masses of the population, making it additionally passive. If the population does not wake up, get a grip, and regain its sanity, the future of humanity is bleak. The danger to humanity is not some so-called anthropogenic climate change, nor is it in some fictional pandemics. The real trouble is in the massive decline in intelligence caused by the elite, deliberately forming population, anonymous insignificance, devoid of logical thinking, due specifically to the destruction of the foundations of the fountain of correct thinking, real, uncorrupt science, honoring truth, logic, and the scientific method. A multitude which cannot tell deception from truth is as much a threat to itself as to the entire world.